Wake up, everybody. It's Aretha Franklin, Bob Belts, and I'm Bo Mitchell. This is You Get the Blessing. What you want,
baby, I got. She brings it, doesn't she?
This is a great rock and roll song, maybe top 10 all time. Why did we pick Respect, Bob?
Well, because women need respect, and our guest today is going to talk a lot about that.
Amen. And why we have guests is to bless you folks, so stay right here.
We've got to get to Aretha spelling it out, though, here in a minute. So
she's going to. You made a good choice.
Good morning, Ernie. Good morning, Ella.
Ooh. Every week, Ernie and Ella listen to that.
Here we go. No.
It's never going to happen, Lori.
We might have our guest just sing it, you know. Anyway, all right. We'll get to that later. All right.
All right. So what we try to do here is bless you with stories from the lives of people that we think are empowering this world for the cause of Christ and good things. That can benefit all of us. So you've made a good choice tuning in today. We thank you for the feedback we get that you are listening, and I love every week getting to sit here and talk to our guests. So, and my partner, Bob Belts, who I say is the smartest man in the world and the most brilliant Bible teacher in history and the pastor of Highline Community Church and the husband of the beautiful Allison.
I know. My wife is actually in. Well, I should first of all introduce our guest today. So
please
anyway,
do.
We're really, really excited today to for you to get to meet a wonderful and world-changing woman, which is part of the reason we went with the R-E-S-P-Z-D. Anyway,
I didn't singing to me.
Right.
Excuse me.
I don't sound anything like Aretha. But anyway, our guest today is Dr. Ann Griffith. And Ann, who has been a longtime friend, but isn't here because of that necessarily. But Ann is actually the founder and executive director of a ministry called the Enlighten Foundation. And I won't tell you what they do. We'll let Ann tell you that. But this is a group that is impacting the world, and particularly the plight of a lot of women in the world. And my wife, Allison, who is here. I was not going to say she was here. I was going to say, I know it's really inappropriate on the radio show, but you think you can get me a date with that other girl in the room? So, anyway,
yeah.
My beautiful wife, Allison, who is working with Ann, is with us too. But Ann, thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're not only a person that is doing some great things, but you are really marginally crazy, and that's what I like about you.
That has been a title people have given to me for as long as I can remember.
That's better than the one I've gotten, which is totally crazy.
Uh-huh. You're just crazy, Ann. That's what.
It's a good crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. I keep hope. Yeah, you keep hoping.
Who wants to just get into the pack and kind of move along with the kind of a?
I know.
I mean, let's go ahead and be a little crazy. Mm-hmm. Do something that's going to impact
one
the world.
One life. Amen. And then pretty soon you're old and you can't be crazy anymore.
Amen.
Yeah, normal's like, you know, way overrated.
Mm-hmm.
I did
mm-hmm.
something recently. I was thinking, am I ever going to grow up? Nah, it's overrated.
Yeah.
Why would I do
it
that?
It is, isn't it?
I think I'd unhook the bag.
So how did you get crazy anyway? So here's what we want you to do.
Okay,
I want you to tell us a little bit about life for you growing up, a little bit about your family, where you're from, all of that. Then
a little bit
of your journey. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I was raised in St. Louis, and I was raised as a Presbyterian. I went to church every single Sunday. My father was a strong Christian. My great-grandmother, Carrie, was a pioneer from the East Coast to Missouri, landed there with the family Bible, and really put him on her lap as the fifth of five boys. Can you imagine?
She was crazy.
Grandmother. She was crazy. And and read to him from the Bible, and he really was a great follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so he taught my sister and me about Christ, and we have taught our kids. I grew up normal thing, went to Young Life, and really thought with my life, firstborn child, my dad said, you can do anything in the world. But then, of course, you get to working in the oil business or whatever in the 20s, and you think, really, I can't do anything in the world. Mm. And when we got married, I always thought, well, we're just two people getting married. And it became this whole society thing of, well, husband does this, wife kind of puts around and goes along. He's the leader, she's not. Well, it turned out we were kind of opposite there.
Hmm.
He liked being the team player and didn't really like, you know, kind of being that whole leader thing. And it really became this oxymoron in our lives as to, well, where does Christ go in, live in this, and how do we want to be a leader in a church when in most churches there are 130 denominations of Christian churches that don't allow women in leadership? Where do we go with this? I mean, then why did God even make women to do work this way? And it all blew up kind of in the mid-40s when I was in my mid-40s, and I just decided, you know, this is like a movie. I'm just playing a part in a show. And as soon as those kids are out of college, I'm going to strike the set and I'm just going to live my life. And I announced that to my husband. He's like, whatever, do whatever you want. I don't care. And I really, really tried to figure out at that time, are there any women pastors? Is there anybody that actually can do work, in a capacity of the way Christ would want them to do, as opposed to what every neighbor or every person would tell us to do? And so I picked up some money and headed to Africa and landed in Africa for about 2 weeks and went with a pastor and a co-pastor. Both of them, you know, the co-pastor was actually the husband and the pastor was the female. And
we're getting ready to turn Highline over to Allison. So this is good. This is a good model. So no, anyway, so
you're
what did you go to Africa? I mean, what was the purpose?
I went
then?
There because they were going to cancel. I was running the director of missions at a church, and they were going to just cancel them. And I said, no, you can't do that. You know, these people live month to month. And why didn't you consult me? Once again, it was just over our head, you know, we were going to do this. And they basically said, well, if you can prove that they are worthwhile. And I said, what if I fly over there and I find that it's worthwhile, would you keep them? And they said, well, sure, thinking I wouldn't do it. And I did. And when I, and we almost got, the thing that made the difference was that as I was chattering away in the middle of Zimbabwe with this couple, we were almost stampeded by an elephant, and she had just said, you know, the second death besides AIDS in Zimbabwe is that elephant stampede in the middle of the rural area. And this thing came at us. I was standing on this Range Rover, staring this thing right in the middle that was coming, barreling down, ears going, you know, and the whole trunk going and screaming and bellowing. And she, of course, landed on her knees screaming to Jesus to stop it. And I'm thinking, this is it. It's all over. I can't believe it's going to end here. I was just coming here to visit. Listen, Lord, what was this about? And so,
you know, you don't see a lot of obituaries in America where it says cause of death, stampede, trampled by an elephant.
An elephant.
Yeah, yeah.
So it stopped. It stopped as far as you and I are.
Huh.
And then mud everywhere all over us, and stopped and sat there. And the driver was, you better be very quiet, be very still. And so we were watching this thing, and it crawled around our truck. And we got back in the truck, and I said, well, you know, I think if I'm still alive, then I'm going to do what I want to do in this world. And I came back here and started.
Okay, hang on just a second. That's Ann Griffin you're listening to, the founder of the Enlightened Foundation, our guest today on You Get the Blessing. And so before you go on with the story, are you saying that women have been underestimated through the years as to what y'all are capable of doing?
Wait. Are you saying they get no RESP? You
know, yeah, there you go.
R-E-S-P-C-T.
Is that what you're saying? Including this church that was about to abandon this program?
I just think that it's unfortunate that women really don't understand, don't see the potential that they have. I think they can, especially American women. We've gone so far around the world in so many different areas that when we shut the door and it's only our team of women, you see this kind of like light shine in their eye where they know we're there for them and there isn't anybody that they have to be accountable to. They know that they can talk to us. And the power that American Christian women really have to be able to show other women in our own nation and across the world is extraordinary. We don't get that. And so the whole point of the foundation is to prepare them, really prepare them, make sure that they understand that we can be a powerhouse all over.
Okay, so you said there was this thought in your mind, when my kids go to college, I'll strike the set and then live my life. So with good reason, is that why this has happened? I mean, my wife was a much better parent than I was. And a woman Helen Dye told me I was the worst father she'd ever seen. So thank goodness for Helen and my wife. But are there reasons this has kind of happened? And
I think you really do in many ways. And I only speak for myself. But then when I started asking other women, there were so many that quasi, you know, that agreed in many ways, is that, you know, you are given a set of roles, especially as Christian women. You're given a set of kind of like dictums, you know, that you go by, and you try to be as the best you can be, and you try to do what's you know, right for the role that you're given, and many times it's the only thing that you're given. I can be going into a church, and a lot of churches, and I'll see women that are, you know, executive directors for, you know, the old Exxon, and say, well, why are you doing this over here with the coffee? Well, that's what I've been given. If we're going to be, you know, a revolutionary country that really is, you know, a Christian, Judeo-Christian country, half of this population is, you know, underutilized, is not feeling like they can own into the possibility that they can make major change.
I happen to really like strong women.
Yeah.
You've got a great wife.
Yeah, your wife.
And your wife is awesome. And you and others we work with, so. Take it from here, Bob.
Well, and of course, regardless even of what that looks like in our country, it's much worse in other places in the world, which is part of what you've been doing. Tell us, you know, what the Enlightened Foundation, you know, what you see. I know you've explained a little bit about it, but, you know, I know, like, for instance, you go into Romania and you go to the places where no one else goes. You go work with the gypsies, and you're going to Israel. And instead of working, you know, in some city somewhere, you're going out to work with the Bedouins and the boonies in their tents. So, I mean, you know, there are places that are, you know, probably incomprehensible to somebody listening to the show in terms of, you know, what life is like for a woman. So tell us a little bit about what that looks like when you go somewhere.
Well, we have three programs, and two of them are statewide, and then one is international. And the two that are statewide, again, this is all to prepare women to do their work if they choose to be going down this route, is that the Institute, the Enlightened Institute, is held at Denver Seminary, and it's in the spring and the fall. And then there are different topics that women can really learn from: boundaries, culturalism, anything that they can learn about world issues and themselves, growing for themselves into who they want to be. And then Let's Go is actually a program where they are trained to be able to move into the world. They have a mentor and a coach, and they literally learn about the culture that they're going into. And then they go into Project Sparkle, which is in three countries. We work with a minority structure and a majority structure. So, yes, we do work with Gypsies or Roma in the Romanian culture in Transylvania, Romania. And we work with Kurds. We're the only group that is in with a 22 million population of Kurds. And we work with them in Armenia. And the Knesset asked us to go into southern part, 177,000 Muslims, which are Bedouin Muslims, different than kind of what we hear in southern Israel and the Negev. And the reason is because when we can walk alongside, if we know how Christ has worked in our lives and who we are, again, knowing that we can help and empower any woman, and they're not always Christians. I mean, we work with Yazidis, Zoroastrians, Muslims, you name it. And if we can walk alongside of those women, they don't really care that we're Christians. They're just amazed that anybody cares about them. And so to be able to say you were born with a purpose, you weren't born as just a secondary thought. God never has those. You have a reason. Let's figure out what you can do, you know, how we can help your children and how we can help your family. But you tell us what's going on. And that's where we've learned an extraordinary amount of information about what their needs are. And it's an unbelievable series of needs. And so a lot of it, you never ever broach the notion of, oh, well, I'm suppressed. I'm, you know, what I've been talking about. They want to survive, and they want their children to survive. And they want to know, for instance, we had an issue dealing with Armenia where they just asked, what does the blood have to do with the baby? You know, we know that if we aren't bleeding, well, then we have to get an abortion. If we are bleeding, we don't have to give an abortion. Well, we sat there with Baylor, nurses and figured out that they had upwards of 50 abortions because they didn't know about their reproduction. Hmm. And so if you just explain, this is your body, this is how this works, they're taking notes and understanding, and oh my gosh, I didn't know, and it's wonderful to know. And this is where Allison came in. The whole notion of really trying to figure out this education from cradle to grave and help them go through a whole process of how they can be the woman that they are meant to be, and how can we give little information along the way that can at least help them understand the power right there of knowing your own body is extraordinary.
And I know that schools has kind of been one of the things. Mm-hmm. Have you actually gone in and started
schools? So we start with, in the Project Sparkle program, it's three phases. And we start with an ELC, an Early Learning Center. And in doing that, we're able to really note the women that are in that community that are young women. Most of the time, those are the women that will be the ones that take the strength and the guts to change whatever issues that they need to change. And so we get to know them. And in our organization, in Enlighten, we have everyone up on the wall. We know these women. We know their children. And then the second phase of Project Sparkle is the health and caring clinic. So that is where we talk about your body. We've partnered with Baylor University for a three-year study. And so we have a study that ended up with a health journey where we teach the women in the village and they teach their own in their own villages. And so they're able to go out into the hundreds of thousands that they can then teach their own about their body. And then the third piece of the Project Sparkle program is skill and spiritual development. So we say, what do you want to learn? Do you want to learn, you know, do you want to learn to read? Do you know how to read? We take kind of testing. And do you want to learn how to use the computer? A lot of them do. And do you know, what kind of skill? Do you do blanket weaving? Do you plant flowers? Do you raise sheep? It varies all over the globe. But so with the three programs, by that time, we know the women that are in the village. We're able to say, now let's talk about the issues that you're dealing with, and how can we work together, and how do you negotiate an issue, and how do you work with the men in your family, and how do you work with the children and other women, and then the men come in, and we kind of talk about that and interrelate about how you can work together to change the keep the culture, change the issue, and that's what Project Sparkle is about.
So a lot of people think like a rescue mission is, you know, sit down here, fellas, we're going to preach this Bible to you, and then if you'll sit still long enough and hear what we got to say, we'll serve you a bowl of soup, as opposed to, hey, yeah, you guys are hungry, how about coming in here and let us just take care of that need, and if we have the time and the relationships right, we'd like to share with you what Christ means to us.
Exactly.
So you're I was hungry, you gave me food, I was thirsty, you gave me drink, and you're serving the least of these around the world.
That's right. Even with the Romanian project, when we first went in, you know, gypsies hated us. They used their 3- and 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds to beg. So they came into the kindergarten and defecated all over the walls. And we turned to the women and I just said, ladies, you wanted this. I'm not cleaning this up. And we hire indigenously. But I was telling them, if you want to keep it, and it was clean the next day. And what we found out was that, you know, three showed up for kindergarten. We're like, what? What happened here? But we fed them. And when we started realizing, as we've learned over all of our mistakes over the past 10 years, you feed those kids, and we fed them, we stuffed their pockets full of, like, cheese and all kinds of crackers, and then they would go home, and that'd feed the family. I mean, they wouldn't eat for 2 days, these children. And the next day, 23 kids landed at that door, you know, knowing they could eat, they could learn, but they weren't going to be fed.
Your brain goes so fast. I'm just picturing someone listening to this program. It's great, and it's a great leadership skill. What you're teaching is, even here in Denver, remember when Richard Beach started Sky's Limit Camp? It took about a week for Richard and his staff to learn that when these kids get here in the morning, they haven't had dinner the night before. And they have no energy because they've had no food. Mm-hmm. Best thing we could do when they get off the bus is give them a snack with some protein. But you're educating an entire leadership team of women here and empowering them to impact the world. Mm-hmm. Way to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all of us. It's not me. The whole organization is doing this. And it's a wonderful thing.
Get us into some results here, Bob. How does she get help?
Yeah, you know, we love to expose people that are listening to, you know, great ministries like this, and we always also like to encourage them that if you know what could you do, jump in and help. Tell us maybe how somebody's listening. They could either get involved, maybe make a donation, and how to kind of get information about Enlightened Foundation.
Right. Go on to www.enlightenedfoundation.org.
Okay.
ENLIGHTEN.
You're one of the fast talkers of America. You're going to have to say that again.
Okay.
I'm the vice president of that club, by the way.
www.enlightenedfoundation.org. And it's, you can call. Give me a holler. 303-800-5194. Just ask for. Click it on down. Everybody's in front of me on the telephone. And get to Ann and then go click, click, click into my phone, and I'd love to talk to you.
So do we need money? Do we need people? What do we need?
You know, we want Christian women to tell us what's going on in their lives. So we want to galvanize these women, bring them around. If you are a Christian woman who would love to do something in your life, and just even a part of the life and within your family, you're thinking to yourself, you know, geez, I'd love to be a part of other women. I'd love to go along with friends. And Allison's going to go with me to Romania and do some fun things. Well, call me. I mean, let's just talk. It doesn't make any difference. We are non-denominational. I don't care what. You can be Lutheran, Pentecostal, Presbyterian. It doesn't make any difference. This is all about if you're a follower of Christ. And so if we can galvanize and work together, everybody can do this. Let's do it all together. That's what we're about.
Good. And if somebody wants to donate, you know, to help
right.
with one of these projects, can they do that?
Yes, you okay. can. And you can go online to do that, and you can send it. We are at 1830 West Littleton Boulevard, and that's in Littleton 80120. You can see our good. Sign right out in front.
And that's probably on the website also.
It's on the website.
Okay, good.
So how many years can you keep this pace up, Ann?
I know. I don't know. I'm sure it's just as long as the Lord keeps me up there, I'm just going to go.
So you got the passion. You've got the energy.
And the craziness.
You've got the professionalism. So I like that fact that it's very relational, but at the same time, you guys are trained professionals. It's mm-hmm. set up right. It's a foundation where you're you can plug into, you can donate money, listeners, if you'd like. You can come be a part of the next institute. When
is
the next?
It's starting. Oh, and you're going to love this. It's called Reclaiming Christmas, Bringing It Back, ladies. And we really start our own tradition. You don't have to be crazy anymore. And it starts October 4th.
You mean reclaiming the holidays?
Or that's right. Reclaiming the holidays where people can say, I'm not happy
kidding.
Holiday. I'm going to shop at the Macy's Apple Special. No, you know, what is this about? Let's form our own traditions. Let's do it family to family. Let's change this crazy system the way it's been dealing with in Christmas and enjoy it instead of pulling your hair out.
And that's at Denver Seminary, right?
Yes, beginning October 4th. Okay. And you can go online and sign up.
Great.
Do they still have my picture over in the lobby at Denver Seminary?
It's big.
It's big. It took me 9 years to ease through a 2-year program as the dumbest student in the history of the school. But I did it. I've got the paper to prove it.
All right.
And the faculty actually gave me a standing O when I graduated because they were so glad to get rid of me. So Denver Seminary, give the website again.
www.enlightenedfoundation.org.
Come on, folks. You can get involved in this. So, I have never once intentionally underestimated my wife or any woman I'm working with. Have you, Bob? Intentionally?
Not intentionally, but I know I underestimated Allison for a lot of years. And when I finally came to my senses and realized how gifted she was and began to see her literally take life-changing action to, you know, in her case originally. We're going to have Allison on sometime because I want her to tell about India and the work she did in India, and then by that time she'll probably have some stories for us about Enlightened Foundation too. But I think the brightest and best oftentimes we're leaving, and in our situation particularly, I'm convinced our brightest and best at Highline are sitting in the pew mm-hmm. and aren't getting mobilized. So,
when we as men continue to reach right past these incredible, wonderful, brilliant intuitive women and choose something other than them, it's just almost, sorry, but it's almost the old phrase, you can't coach stupid. We need to snap out of it and support somebody that is doing something like Dr. Ann Griffin and Allison Belts and this program. So men, if you're listening, encourage your wife to go to this website and get involved and decide once, choose her over yourself and your own program and your own desires. And let's then watch them impact the world. So parting shot there, Ann, anything?
Wonderful. No, you're exactly right, Bo. That is exactly right. Thank you so much for that.
Well, thank you for being on the program. I was told this was going to be hang on to your hat. So you're a wonderful leader. Keep it up.
Thanks, Bo. Thanks, Bob.
We'll see you next week here on You Get the Blessing. Thanks, Bob.